Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Garniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money,
baby. How much you gonna pay? Mind.
And his partner, Fela Tapender Stevenson.
From Mick Echo City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name is Rab Florence. I'm eating a sandwich. Listen to this, Grado. Grado's with me, of course, Grado, the main man, the legend himself. Listen to this, Grado, meeting a sandwich. Mm.
Looking very annoying.
Is that all right?
But, well, you're going to get away with the night, mate, because I'm at my digs and I've no got my mic. And what happens when I've got my mic is I like to kind of pause it or at least turn it off when I'm painting or drawing my vape. So it doesn't ruin the sound. So
I do apologise in advance. Here he goes. You suck on your vape and I'll chew my sandwich at the same time. Right, here we go. After three, two, one, suck. Welcome to Wrestling Daft. Cracking. How's your week been, Grado? What you been up to?
Just recording, filming 2 doors down. Doing radio, then 2 doors down and stuff like that. So just been kind of kept busy. I'm up in Glasgow now, so.
I'm
watching the wrestling night when I can. No current stuff, but I watched Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect SummerSlam 91 the other night.
Uh-huh. Beautiful.
It's not as good as you make it to be.
Shut up, mate. I've been watching a fair bit of Bret Hart stuff lately, by the way. Because I kind of feel like I'm always a bit harsh on Bret Hart, you know what I mean?
Well, the A&E one was probably the best one out of the lot, but he fucking loves himself, old Bret Hart, man.
Oh, he loves himself. He loves himself.
He's his biggest fan, but you know what? When you look at it back, man, his shit looks tremendous.
Oh.
And if he has a big punter for himself, then he's got the, you know, fucking...
He can talk a talk, but he can walk a walk a knock, can't he?
Oh, you
know what I mean? That's exactly. Welcome to Wrestling Daft. So let's see what the punters have been saying.
Punt himself up.
So WWE SPFL got in touch, right? He says, I like Adam Cole, he says. But he says, ever since listening to Rab, I'm convinced he's actually shrinking. What sort of mad Papa Shango voodoo is Rab putting on him? That guy is getting weird, Hank.
You still eating that piece?
I think that guy's getting weird.
Well, you know, he might have a... You don't know. You can't... He might have an underlying health condition.
Come on, no.
You don't know what's happening behind closed doors.
Do you think Adam Cole's like Benjamin Button? Is that what you're trying to say, Grado?
Benjamin Button, a guy that's old?
He starts old and then grows backwards.
No, he's not turning into a baby. What Grado's saying is that he might secretly behind the scenes have a heroin addiction. Is that what you're saying, Grado? Because that's quite litigious.
See, be fair, if he had the heroin addiction, right? Now, see all ex-heroin addicts, remember we say he's got addiction, but see all ex-heroin addicts, they're all buff as fuck. Look at Dave Navarro, look at Anthony Kiedis. Well, not the ones you get in Glasgow, but see when they come off the skag, they all go buff as fuck. Renting and train spot, and there you go, there's another one.
Off the skag? You look something for a Hebs advert. You got to get off the skag. Adam Cole's got to get off the skag. But Cena... How about it? I really fancy you.
That's bizarre.
Should have seen the state hunts out of the night.
I remember that one.
And what was the boy band one? My Lonely Mate or something. Was it?
No, it was a girl band. It was a girl band, right? They were called... What were they called?
That was a Stop Smoking one, wasn't it?
They were called Stinks or something.
I said, Boggan!
I think they were called Stinks.
I said, Boggan!
So, Bronze Cello says, following on for last week's discussion about gravestones and Andre the Giant being cremated on the Hidden Treasures documentary, it states that Andre's ashes weighed 19 pounds. That's crazy. Is that true?
That's what he says. That's heavier than a baby. That's like two babies worth.
Right. That's heavy ashes.
Are they counting the I think they're counting the under.
They're probably counting the
under. I don't think they are. I mean, surely not.
They will be. You know, it's just wrestling, isn't it? It's carny as fuck, man. They'll be counting on them.
I mean, I've never actually felt ashes or seen them real. I've just kind of... Is it just like frag ashes?
It's like a powder. It's like a kind of chalky powder. I love it. You can put them on your cereal and on it for an extra wee. Put them in your muesli, mate.
Where would you get your ashes spread?
I would get my ashes spread. Where would I get my ashes spread? Probably at the centre spot in Ibrox, I think. Where would you get yours spread, Grado? Just on top of mine at the centre spot?
Either. There or the Buffs Park or the Sir Matt Busby Sports Centre where the Lowlanders began.
I know where I'm getting mine spread, actually. I know the answer to that one. Up at Glen Etive, which is up the north of Scotland. I would probably get them there, or I'd get them hooked into the Clyde here by Helensburgh, or I would get them sprinkled up Springburn Park in Ballonock.
What are you, John?
I've never thought of this, but I think it would be quite neat. You know, as a Falkirk supporter, you know, the penalty spot, that'd be quite nice, yeah. I'd like.
Do Falkirk have a grun? They have a football grun?
I do.
I thought Falkirk were one of the teams that just get a lenny other people's gruns to play their games. No? Did they actually have their own? How long have they had their own pitch?
We've had that for quite some time. Quite some time.
But, like, they play games. Like, they play games there, not it?
They do,
fans go.
They do, fans go. Fans go and everything, aye. Yeah.
Where do they train? In the community centre?
No.
Dairy train?
In the pitch of the stadium.
Well, the players are working in a call centre most mornings, so they don't really get a chance to do much training, I don't think.
Anyway, that leads us nicely on to our next shout-out from Ben, one of our punters.
That's true. Ben spotted another incidence of football and wrestling as Dumbarton announced new signing Joe McKee via the Chris Jericho Countdown.
Would you like to see this?
I would like to see it.
I like that.
No harm to Joe McKee, but it's such a letdown that, isn't it, when it does that countdown and it's just him. Like, no harm to him, but you know what I mean? That was one of the greatest debuts in wrestling history. And then it's Joe McKee. No harm to him, like I said. Lovely guy. Kind to his family and all that, but and he, he's not a mad right winger like Jericho as well, but he... You know what I mean, it's just a bit disappointing. You fucking bamming me up, John. The Falkirk actually have their own grun.
Let's move on from that now.
He also flagged up a tweet for a coffee shop that went viral, old Ben, where in a job advert they advertised for a Batista instead of a barista. That's funny. It inspired a lot of responses, that thread, such as I walk alone inside this cup of coffee. Free Batista bomb with every 10th coffee purchased. I walk for miles inside this pit of Costa. You'll be expected to work as part of a team. Well, then this job isn't for me because I work alone.
It's quite a good banner.
A fucking hilarious banner, isn't it, for the wrestling boys all sitting there chugging away, writing their wee tweets. Pablo of Pablo's Vault of Horror fame flags up a tweet for Irish wrestler Damien Corvin, whose new stable has the tagline defeat, destroy, devour? You ask the question, hold on, is this a cannibal faction? Why devour? Defeat, destroy, devour. Are they eating people?
I don't believe that. I just think they probably like the use of the alliteration. You know, what else do you like? Oh, defeat, destroy, that's a good start. That's a good tagline. Oh, what else begins with D? Get
defeat,
the
old destroy, devour. I quite like it. Good question for Karate Warrior 2. Hey, Rabin Grado, throwing this one out there. Wrestlers who made you go, oh no, him again, fucking hell, when they appeared on telly. Mine's got to be WCW's Jerry Flynn, he says. Hated that guy. Mine's was Van Hammer. WCW. Whenever Van Hammer came out, I was like, fuck it, no him, man.
Mine's was probably Robbie E and TNA.
Robbie E and TNA.
Aye, like,
you don't like him, do you? You don't like him, Grado, do you? You don't like him.
He's all right, but I bought his fucking t-shirt, but it doesn't fit me. Because see when he done that Jersey Shore gimmick and all that, and I felt at the same time Zack Ryder was doing the same stuff.
Yep.
Pissed me off.
Let me ask you a question. If Robbie E auditioned for a role in Two Doors Down, right, and he got it, the producer says to you, Grado, Robbie E's got a role in Two Doors Down, would you use your influence and your stroke to try and get him punted out of the show?
Because he done the same with me.
There we go. You heard it here first, folks. You heard it here first. The one and only coach trip, our good friend Adam Shame, is pointed towards a tweet for Kurt Angle that says, met up with my great friend Scott Steiner at River City Wrestling Convention. Great seeing you, Scotty. It's true. River City Wrestling Con. And says he looks like a joint venture for Grado and Shell Suit Bob. River City Wrestling. What match would you like to see involving the characters from River City?
I think the big thing with this is it sounds like it's bumping SoapCon.
Oh, that's true.
For me, that's SoapCon. You know what I mean?
I want to see a match between the... I don't watch it. I've got any idea who's in it.
I'd like to see Lenny Murdoch versus Roisin.
Tell you what, Lenny Murdoch would make a good manager. And a gangster faction in Glasgow.
Wouldn't he?
You know what I mean?
Who?
Joycey would make a good women's wrestler without a doubt.
Who was a wee guy that had kind of ginger hair that was in River City years ago?
Devon. What was his name? It's something like that.
Devon Dudley.
Vader.
Aye, Vader. I would like to see him versus... who was the lassie who... There was a lassie in it who was like... Oh, fuck's sake, man. I'm trying to remember. She was like a schoolgirl when she was in it.
Madonna.
No, she was like, I'm trying to remember. I'm going back a few years here. Never mind, let's go with somebody else. Who was the big boy? I've got any fucking idea, man.
Big Bob versus Bob would be one to watch, wouldn't it?
Battle of the Bobs. The Battle of the Bobs would be one to see, wouldn't it? Tom Urie, great guy. Shout out to him. Before we move on, thanks to Spray Paint Scott, who's come across a tune by a band called The Beef Supreme, simply called Flair. Let's hear a bit of this. It's about Ric Flair, I assume. Never ever send us anything like again, Spray Paint Scott, right? Because we sat and listened to that for about fucking 4 hours and we were listening again and again going, and I was a wee bit of wrestling in the video and stuff, but this is a podcast. Have a bit of, you need to think rationally about this stuff before you send stuff in. And if any of yous want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft. Don't be sending us any shite. On Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast. Don't be sending any garbage to us. Just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, nay shite, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Get a grip, stop sending us shite hanks. Now, every week we separate the bad for the good of wrestling, the three lines for the yes, sir, I can boogie. I'm sick of yes, sir, I can boogie. I know, no offence, John. I know George Bowie did his remix and all that, and, you know, but come on, get a rest. seeing people with the t-shirts on and all that. Let's get a rest.
Wrap it, John.
Right, wrap it. I think you've ripped arse with it, John. Yes, sir, I can boogie, I think.
Still top 10, I think, in the iTunes chart.
Is it? Aye. Well, okay. I've heard Falkirk have a football ground as well. So, I mean, right. So let's talk about Billy and putting over. Obviously, we both want to put over Grado Piper Niven making her debut on Raw.
100%, man. It was on Tuesday.
High-profile debut, by the way. High-profile debut.
It's a good sign, mate, because here's the crack. It's a good sign that they're bringing up UK folk, you know, that are on the UK contracts and bringing up to Raw. So that's really, really promising. But I just, as soon as I saw her on Raw, or the pictures, man, I just got flashbacks to a fucking freezing bare Wednesday night in Linwood. We Viper and Nikki Storm and Damo, and just thinking this, wow, just how far they've came. And especially for Kimberly, man, because Kimberly's an absolute diamond there, lassie. Absolute diamond. One of the nicest humans you'll ever, ever meet. And she's never gave up, man. She's never gave up. Obstacles have been thrown her way. And each time, man, she's managed to can make the most of it. And now she's on Raw. You know what? Fair play to that, lassie.
I think she'll do well. I really think she'll do well because, like, she is super well-liked. I think she'll be really popular with everybody there. Internally, and she's good in the ring as well. You know what I mean? She's good. So that's the best thing. What do I want to bury? I want to bury fucking Alexa Bliss. I'm sick of burying her. I can't bury her anymore. I'm not going to bury her anymore. I'm not doing it. Let's see what the punters are saying. John wants to put over Viper's main roster call-up. Great to see another Scott in the WWE. And another big shout-out for Dark Side of the Ring for John. Nothing getting buried for him. Kev wants to put over the Tombstone Daft segment for last week, which was very funny. What was that?
What was that?
We were talking about all the dead people and the dead wrestlers. And
oh, aye. That's
right. That was good.
And Kev wants to put over Cesaro hiding behind the door in the Bayley-Seth Rollins segment for SmackDown. That was good. I really enjoyed that Bayley and Seth Rollins segment, actually. I think Bayley's great. Sean wants to put the WWE not acknowledging Piper Niven and triggering the indie wrestling fans and bury the booking of Alexa.
Hold on a minute. put over WWE not acknowledging Piper Niven. Well, she's had the name before that. I mean, I'm being pernickety here, but she was Viper before Piper Niven. Huh? I don't know. Yeah. Am I being too...
No. And Sean wants to bury the booking of Alexa Bliss. She shouldn't have to fight against mid-card wrestlers like Nia Jax and Shayna. She should be competing for the main strap. Give yourself peace, mate. Steve says he wants to bury almost every match on Raw ending with count out or interference. It's total WCW booking. And he wants to put over four women's matches on Raw. AEW could learn us something for that. Also, the RK-Bro storyline is the best thing on Raw. Also wants to put over the Holy Takeover pay-per-view. Every match was fantastic. And of course, Eli Drake is there, and NXT's won the $1 million belt, right? $1 million champion, isn't he?
Yes.
What's his name again? No, it's
LA Knight.
LA Knight.
Brilliant.
He's a man. He's the best.
He's such a good promo. Like,
he's a brilliant promo.
Do you know what? Someone pointed it out to me. See the way he delivers it. It's just the closest thing to The Rock I've ever heard in someone delivering a promo. Obviously, kind of obviously models his kind of style on it, but he sounds fucking brilliant. He's brilliant.
TNA, all he would do was watch Attitude Era promos backstage. It was actually mainly Stone Cold he was always watching.
Really?
Aye. But I can see, I know you're talking about with The Rock, but he was forever studying promos backstage, old Attitude Era stuff. And he always had it, man. The problem he had years ago was he's in love with himself, but in wrestling there's nothing wrong with that. They're usually the full hog. So I'd say that held him back for a good couple of years because he could have been. I mean, he was in NXT in 2011, 12, 13, and then I don't know, something happened. He fucking done something stupid on a NXT house show that he was told not to do, and he got in trouble for it. He done the whole, you know, don't ask but get in trouble for it, and I think it ended up going tits up for him. But when he came to TNA, man, I mean, he was like the most disliked guy ever. Everybody hated him. But then as soon as he started cutting his promos, he was in a faction with Drew, and it was bollocks. But then as soon as he went himself, man, he was great. And I will say, once again, me and his ladder match on Impact was the highest rated segment on Pop TV in the first quarter of 2016.
Let me say about him as well.
And I've dined out on that for fucking 6 years, 5 years.
On that great period of NWA power that there was before the pandemic happened, he was just a standout, man. He was a total standout on that. His promos were amazing. And his talent, I think, is that what he's best at is that he can, it's not just about how well he can cut a promo, is that if something happens or there's a certain reaction for the crowd or something, he can spin and work with that effortlessly. And that's the kind of attitude era style promo where he's so connected with the crowd and he can just think on his feet. I'll say there was an amazing one. There was an amazing promo I remember him doing where he came out and he was wearing his new gear, right? And he says, he pointed down at his shoes, right? And he went, these are the shoes of a champion, right? And he turned around and he turned his back and he pointed at his jacket and he went, these are the shoes of a champion, he said. And then he realised that he'd made the mistake and the audience were laughing. And he was like, did I just say the shoes of a champion there again for my jacket? And he fucking went with it. You know what I mean? He just went with it and he was laughing along with the crowd. And then he had all the merch out. It was a picture of him with a jacket on. It says the shoes of a champion. No,
that's
that.
Amazing,
it was,
man.
It was, you know, but he was just so, he was so likable on NWA Power, just, you know, just an old school.
There was another one, I'm not kind of gee idea what a character is in real life, but I remember him chatting up a bird one night somewhere and I was just walking by and I could hear him go, say to the lassie that he was talking to on a date or whatever, and he was going, you see, I'm the kind of guy that likes, and I don't know what he said, but then he said it again, you see, because I'm the kind of guy, right, and I'm going, and I went up to him and I went, fucking listen to you, I'm the kind of guy. So then whenever I saw him anytime after, I'd go, you're the kind of guy. I'm the kind of guy. He was sitting there talking away, totally woke-inducing, but that's the kind of, that's, you know what I mean? That's his kind of...
Aye. Kind of
guy.
Ah, he's a star.
Everybody tweet the kind of guy. In fact, don't, because you'll biff out, actually. Don't.
Ross wants to put our Finland using Ludwig Borga's entrance music as their national anthem. What a fitting tribute to the man. Very funny. Jim wants to put our Piper... Niven making her Raw debut. She's always seemed genuinely nice when I've met her, so well, happy for her. Jim, sounding a wee bit like a stalker there. Dan wants to bury the vitriol that is about for people that like the opposite company. Let people enjoy whatever they like and stop with the hate. I don't watch Raw and SmackDown these days because it's not for me, but I don't criticise those that do. Watch what you enjoy, says Dan.
Good play.
Beautiful thoughts for Dan there. Stevie wants to bury Jack Henry for deciding to shoot instead of passing.
Jack Henry!
I wants to put our Viper debuting on Raw. So good to see another Scot showing up. Jamie wants to put our Piper Niven making her debut. Everybody loves this. And Samoa Joe returning to NXT. Is that definitely happening?
Yeah, it's happened. He was on last night.
Was he on last night?
Yeah.
I mean, I just kind of feel... He wants to bury the fact that all commentators didn't refer to Niven as anything other than the unknown friend of Eva Marie. Like, they had no idea she's from NXT UK, which looks to me like the start of a daft name change. Like, it doesn't matter. Calm down, it doesn't matter. Martin wants to put her Viper's Raw debut. Sean wants to put her Joe coming back to NXT. Big fan of that. And another shout out for Piper Niven. Very, very popular debut. But again, wants to bury the commentary team acting as if she's a complete newbie, never been seen before on WWE TV. Stick that shite up your ass, say Sean. Grado.
I just want to make, when you put it into context, this, you know, Kimberly Viper debut, this is a lassie for Kilburnie, right? A lassie for Kilburnie, whose mom and dad run a bus company, went to school, fuck, I don't know, where did she go to school? Did she go to Garlic Academy? Right, you think that, you know, she's made her own wrong. A lassie for Kilburnie. Fucking get in there.
Let me ask you a question, Grado, right? WWE sign you. They want to debut you on Raw, right? They're going to bring you, during the segment, Randy Orton and Matt Riddle are doing their thing, and you're going to come out, right? Do you have a problem if they say to you, you're not coming out as Grado, you're going to come out as some unknown guy, and everybody's going to be like, who's this guy? It's an unknown, who's this unknown wrestler? How would you feel about that?
Absolutely not. No issue whatsoever. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You would be daft to have an issue with that. You know, if Fergal Devitt had to do, although they backed Fergal Devitt up by saying he was, you know, a champion in Japan and all that kind of carry on. I mean, the majority of folk that the audience that Raw gets, you know, folk don't know me, so of course it wouldn't be the slightest issue.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the sensible answer, and I think that sums it up. Now it's the part of the show where we invite you, the listeners, to their run and come on the show, talk wrestling with me and Mr. Grado. Ask us a question this week. It's a run-in from the one and only Matthew Haggerty. Here he is, the one and only Matthew Haggerty. Haggerty, 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 Matthew Haggerty. Hey, hey, how you doing, mate?
I'm currently in the hospital, but I promise you, I'm all right. I'm safe.
Right, what's happened to you? Why are you in hospital?
It's a mental health ward.
So, all right, so tell us more about it, though. Do you feel comfortable speaking about why you're in?
No, of course. Basically, lockdown helped me extra hard, you know what I mean? It's just kind of in the last year, this past year, mental health is just going to be a bit kind of shite, you know what I mean? But I promise you, it's nothing to be concerned about, you know what I mean? I'm on a speedy recovery.
And is that just through the past year, mate, or have you always had kind of wee issues here and there?
I've always been quite overly sociable, but I'm not ashamed of it or anything. You know what I mean? This has started off really, really fucking sad and that. You know what I mean?
But,
we've never had this before.
It's not because fucking, I mean, obviously, 2020 for me was fucking magic. You know what I mean? And I know that obviously must sound quite selfish because everybody's always had a shite 2020, but it wasn't any different for me because I've been out of school since 2019, so it was just another year. And so it was all right for me. I turned 18 this year and pretty much partied myself into a psych ward. I got the sales on my birthday. And I was forever walking about saying, I put myself in a cell by myself, I'm fucking brilliant. But obviously, I've...
It's yourself.
Aye. How's it going?
Well, mate, you're a young guy, you've got... You know what? It's like... here's the way I look at these things, right? You're a young guy, you're in a mental health ward now, right? You're getting stuff dealt with, you know, you're seeing the right people. I think there's always a problem sometimes, you people go for a long time and they're not getting any of the help, you know what I mean? It's a fucking positive thing, I think, that you're in there and talking about it. That's the fucking big thing. See, guys, and I think this is a good thing. It's like you're a young guy, right, and you've came on this podcast and you've went quite openly, you've just kind of went like that right at the start of the conversation. You went, well, I'm actually in hospital now, I'm in a mental health ward, right? Speaking openly about it. And it was a time people wouldn't have done that. It's like my generation and even Grado's generation, we probably wouldn't have spoken as openly about that, wouldn't we, no, Grado?
Yeah, which is kind of refreshing to see or hear. And but I'm interested, are you in there 24/7, you're just getting help? When will you be getting out?
Without exposing the business...
Well, mate, if you want to fucking kayfabe the mental health ward,
it's fucking brilliant, by the way, mate. It's fucking, mate. See, I got off the cuffs today, right? So I was sectioned, right? After a wee bit time after my birthday. But that was during the middle of a lockdown. So technically, everybody at the time was sectioned, right? So when I came back, they had just started doing visits and the day walks outside, so you can go to a nurse and walk about and you can go to the shop and stuff now, so you can. So it's to be honest, it just feels like a regular hospital admission, only like a more.
Is it and it helped you?
I mean, like
you meet other people and stuff like that.
Aye, right? It's good. It's good to like. It's a good way to kind of socialise in a fucking unsocialised kind of world for a bit. You know what I mean?
I'm taking like counselling and stuff like that as well, where you can sit and talk with other people who have the same issues and stuff like that.
I'll be honest, man. Like, obviously, these podcasts is it's got me through the first time because, I remember, obviously, you need to wait on your COVID test coming back, so you need to sit in the room. So I'm sitting popping myself with all the fucking remarks and fucking shit for here. And I mean, like, oh, I'm a mark. I'm allowed to say this shit. What am I doing to that? Oh, fucking.
that means a lot, doesn't it, Rab? Because I'm sitting
there.
I feel as if I've been a wee bit crab at the night. You know that way?
Aye. And it's nice to hear.
It's nice to hear that, you know, some folk are out there listening.
And when you do get out, mate, will you continue to get, like, some... Will they be checking in on you and you continue to get some help and stuff like that?
Aye. Well, I'm wanting to get back to the wrestling training.
I recognise you, didn't I? I've met you before, eh?
Aye, must be a fan or something, eh? I was trained under a fucking voice crack, man. Trained under TJ Ridge. I trained in Airdrie. I started training when I was 12. I made my debut the end of 2019, and then I basically became a wee ned and drifted away from training a bit. Fucking went out, started drinking, smoking weed, kind of usual. And then lockdown hut. So I couldn't get back to training if I wanted to. And then it's just recently I've been really, really enthusiastic to come back, buy myself boots and stuff, man. I'm fucking buzzing and then
Gold boots. Where did you get your boots?
Ringsideboots.co.uk.
Oh, you managed to get a hold of them then, aye? did you order them online or did you give them a phone?
I ordered them.
Right, so you never spoke to him on the phone?
No.
Every time I phone that fucking boot guy, he's in Magaluf. Every time. And you know, as soon as it rings, it does that ring. Came when you know somebody's abroad. It's, hello, well, I won't be back till next week, so I'll take your order.
Richard, see, one of you's in Magaluf all the time, or you're all buying boots off him all the time?
Well, did you pay him back? No, I don't want to stooge the guy, but he knows what he's doing. Listen, old Richard Bishop.
He's a gentleman. So, Matthew, you're wanting to get into... that's a good positive thing to fling yourself into. When you get out, you're wanting to be a wrestler. That's the... Do you fancy
it? I know. See, to be honest, man, I don't want to be a wrestler. But, I just fucking... The more time that I've been away for training and stuff, then the more kind of... time that I'm spending obviously in the hospital, it's kind of put me off it a bit, you know what I mean? But I'm hoping that when the day comes that I go back to training, or when the wrestling starts back, I'll be able to just fucking things. I'll feel the same way I did before I left, without fucking obviously leaving again, because I used to be really, really inconsistent as fuck with the training. I mean, I used to maybe show up for 4 Sundays in a row, and then I wouldn't show up for ages, and then I would show up again for a bit, and then for making... For starting training, for when I was 12 and no make my debut until I was 16, that's how there was a long period before making my debut because I was so inconsistent. So that would be one of the goals I'd like to work towards.
But you have been training consistent. Since you were 12 years old?
Aye, but I was a complete character, man. I showed up to training a singlet. the first 2 years of training, I showed up in a singlet. You know what I mean?
Mate, trust me, there's plenty of guys out of the years I've done that.
Fucking, I used to get called Kurt Angle, right? And I'd be raging that I wouldn't be called Gradle. I mean, they used to. my nickname was Kurt, and I'd be I wasn't called Graham.
Listen, see how the hang about training and then taking time out, mate, and being inconsistent? That was the story of my life for about 7 years. I mean, there was one time when I stopped for 2 full years between 2000, and in fact, longer than that. And it's just. If it wasn't for fucking YouTube, I'd be.
But that's age as well, though, right? It's youth, though, isn't it? It's being young as well. It's hard to have that proper kind of dedication and determination when you're young, and particularly when you've got, like, you know, when you're that age, you're 17, 18, 16, 17, 18, usually your mates and all that are kind of kicking about and doing stuff, and you're kind of wanting to do stuff with your mates and all of that. And I suppose you need to be just super fucking single-minded about it, you know what I mean? Just be, like, super selfish and kind of push yourself right into it. Because I think the scene is going to be quite exciting once everything gets back to normal. I think it's going to be a good time for people to, you know, be really flinging themselves into the training and stuff like that.
Definitely fucking hell, isn't it? I fucking, like, I'm just looking forward to being able to help at shows again, you know what I mean? I fucking get the wee black tie on and the wee black jeans on, man. I just fucking look forward to them a security guard. It's all what do they call it?
A sweet sight going underneath.
Aye, fucking goddamn running, ripping the shirt open.
So what have you been watching wrestling lately? Are you up to date?
There's angle AEW enter.
Have you been watching it?
I've been watching a wee bit of them, to be honest. I mean, I used to, like, only really watch, like, WWE, and then obviously, like, with the telly in here, there's no, like, Sky or anything, so, like, it's just kind of flicking through the channel, just watching stuff and watching it on here sometimes, man. But obviously, I feel quite, like, self-conscious sometimes because, like, you know, everybody's a wrestling fan, and, like, like, there was a kind of period as well, like, and I was like, am I a wrestling fan still? You know what I mean? Because, like, ever comes like, oh, what's the script for wrestling? And I'm like, no. It's like, I made my debut, but I'm more, like, still trying, can I see if I'm able to call myself a wrestler yet, which obviously I know I'm no, because I've only made my debut, and then I shat myself for a bit, you know what I mean?
And what was that like when you made your debut? Was it, how did it go? How did you feel it went?
Oh, fucking shite. It was gassing. Fucking could barely on the ropes, but, like, the opponent I originally had, like, he hurt his ankle the week before, so, like, I had to get, like, a new opponent, and I got carried the full match, and, like, but it was just, like, a, I hate saying it was, like, I didn't come through, but it was a cool experience, and, like, it was a guy called, I'm allowed to say all the wrestlers' names in here.
Aye.
No. Urinal Rock.
You're not just allowed to say their names, you're allowed to bury them as well.
Oh, brilliant, man. I'll put them over some. It was John Cena, I was wrestling, I'm about to carry myself for fuckwits. Fucking, aye, but you know Raw, man, right? One of the most hardest working motherfuckers there is, because obviously we get told to obviously promote the shows, fucking get the finger at the arse. He was always there with a motor, putting posters up, putting flyers up. Mm-hmm. I mean, and back then I was like, I'm still a wee guy now, but like, I used to be like really, really easy influence. I trained with guys like Lou King Sharp, Krieger, trained under TJ Rage, Guns on the Network now, Alex Parker, Logan Smith. Like, I've always had like a looking up to kind of personality, like, oh, mate, Wolf, man, I'm. So, like, I used to always just go to a firing session so I could look beer in the boys.
Aye.
But now it's like fucking, like, seeing some of them on the network and just being really one of the most proudest wee cunts about, you know what I mean? Because it's, like, able to say, oh, that's my pals, and mean it, you know what I mean?
But that must be something that really would inspire you as well, was the fact that that path to get into the WWE is quite clear now. It's quite clear now what you need to do to kind of get to that level now. So it's like...
Aye.
I mean,
sorry, on you go.
No.
I went like, and appeared my van there. No, like, obviously, I know, like, everybody's getting sent to the WWE Wrestling Center now. Like, Piper Niven, like, she got fucking made her Raw debut last night.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, on Monday. So, like, fucking, like, even though I know that maybe at one point in my life I could get a contract to whatever, I don't go to training because I want to be a WWE superstar. I'm kind of aiming my heights for wrestling kind of low. I mean, like, I would be, the idea for me that sounds better than going to the WWE would be like being a promoter, really. I mean, or running my own fucking training school or whatever, and then still being able to wrestle here. Because that way I'm still, in a way, living the dream, and then I'd have a chance to build myself an empire and fucking just, you know what I mean? But like, it's, I used to, obviously, every cunt that showed up to training at one point obviously wanted to be go to WWE, and I have as well. I'm not saying that I've no, but like I'm 18, get stressed out and shite myself and cunts say my name too loudly. I don't think I'd be able to be in an environment where, like, and hear all the fucking horror stories, like backstage at WWE. I don't think I'd be able to be in a situation like that. You know what I mean?
I think everybody feels like that. You know what I mean? I think that's one of the things, and particularly at 18, like, I think everybody feels like, even the new, like, you know, like, I'll give you an example, right? Because I was filming a sitcom recently, right? And I had a day. And I've filmed, at this point in my life, I've filmed a lot of stuff and I've been on film sets a lot and all of that, right? But there was one day I was there and, you know, and we were doing some stuff and we were filming and I felt, like, genuinely felt, fuck, man, I feel quite intimidated here. You know what I mean? I came home and I said to my wife after it, I just had one of the days where I felt completely out of my fucking depth. Like, you know what I mean? Like, fuck, man, I'm shite at this. Or, you know what I mean? It's like, and I think that never goes away. Like, see, for... You know, it's for anybody. It never goes away, that thing. And it's a thing you just need to... And Gredo, you'll say the same, won't you? I mean, Gredo's a total fucking brass neck guy, right? Gredo's a guy that will just walk up to anybody and say anything and all that. But I know Gredo quite well as well. And I know that he does worry about stuff and all that kind of thing. You do feel the pressures as well, don't you, Gredo?
100%, man. I even heard it today, sitting in a room with fucking Elaine C and Alec Norton and Johnny Watson and doing the night, and Arabella, they've been doing it for combined about fucking 200 years. And when they did, they put a close up on you and it's your turn to go, man. And you just go, oh man, fucking. What am I doing here?
have you gone back to the fucking unmuted times and the fucking.
I feel as if I've won a competition or something.
No, but it just but that's a thing, mate. It just never goes away. So it's like, it's, you know, you would, if you were going to wait until the point where you just felt comfortable around everybody and weren't fear, you'd be fucking waiting forever. And I think that is the case for a lot of people. I think for a lot of people, they kind of go, I'm not going to try this because I'm still fear. But even like some stand-up comedians know that, I know, who are like some of the best fucking stand-ups on the planet. And they're fucking terrified before they go on stage. They're shitting themselves before they go on stage. And it's just a thing, unfortunately, that never goes away. And it's one of the things, like we were talking about just at the start of this bit. I think nowadays, like everybody, we all need to be better at talking about the weaknesses that we have. And we all need to be better at talking about fucking I'm fear, or I'm scared, or I feel like I'm losing grip of things, or... You know, I feel intimidated and I can't do this. You know what I mean? I need some support. I think, you know, I'm hoping we're moving into a better fucking time for all that kind of stuff. And I think you coming on and talking about all this, I'm sure a lot of, you know, you're talking about being around the boys and all that, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of the boys, a lot of people in the wrestling community out there in the business who hear you on this show tonight talking and being so open about that and talking about the stuff fucking, that are going to be super impressed, you know what I mean?
Like, I fucking... It pissed me off in a way. Because, like, obviously 2020 was hard for every cunt, you know what I mean? It made me sad, because I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to go back to training. Obviously, for other shit, it's harmed, and I'm not going to fucking... I don't want to pull shit up, man. But, like, I feel like when the day training comes back, and obviously people are training elsewhere, but I'm talking about, like, during the day, like, the Airdrie School opens up and everybody walks in, I feel like cunts, it's not going to, there'll be something like, or like an elephant in the room or whatever. But I hope that we're able to still have the same bond that we've always had, the same laughs. You know what I mean?
I mean, you've got a fresh start now, man, when you know what I mean? It's like, and it sounds like you know that all you can do is look after yourself. All you can do is look out for yourself. You can't, you know, you can't concern yourself with what people run about you do. And, you know, you just need to come out and fling yourself into that and keep healthy, man. And keep in touch as well. Keep in touch with the show and let us know how you're getting on once you get back to things. Just keep us posted.
If you ever want messages or whatever, let us know, mate. But definitely come back on the show. And good luck, mate. I'm sure you'll be absolutely brand new with everything.
Thank you very much.
You can tell by how fucking maturely you've been talking about this stuff that you're on the right track. So I look forward to seeing you in the ring, mate. Right.
Cheers.
See right, you well, see you. Thanks for coming on, Matthew. Right, catch you soon.
Opportunity again.
No worries. Right, see you later.
Woo! Now, you would never go on the train and start yapping away on your phone with a speaker on, or a bus, or a plane, or any mode of transport. You wouldn't want every other person hearing about your conversation. So using the internet without ExpressVPN is a bit like that. You need a VPN because internet service providers, your Comcast, your BT, your Tiscali, AOL, they know every single website that you visit. And they're selling this information. They're telling the ad companies, the tech giants. And then they use your data to target you. Now, ExpressVPN, well, it creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so that there's no bugger looking in at your online activity. All you need to do is fire up the app, click one button, and listen, it's rated number one by CNET. Big, big reader of Wired and The Verge, and they all say it's number one as well. Now, it works on phones, laptops, and even routers, so everybody who shares your Wi-Fi, they can be protected as well. Now, I need to tell you, I love ExpressVPN because, look, if I want to watch something that's been on abroad and I need to click to that country, it's as easy as that. Open up ExpressVPN, hit the country that I want, and it makes it look like I'm in that country. And it's personally very, very important to me. I want to tell you today to secure your online activity. Get yourself to expressvpn.com/wrestling today. That's express, ExpressVPN.com/wrestling. And you can get an extra 3 months free. Now, it's expressvpn.com/wrestling. That's 3 times, bro. But listen, get yourself hooked up. Keep safe. And batter on.
You just made the list!
Now it's time for a list more plentiful than the list of David Marshall memes. It's the list of Wrestling Daft. You can vote for what you want us to talk about by joining us at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. This week it was all about debuts, the best or the worst. With 71% of the vote, it was best debuts that won, though I believe WWE may have done this before.
We may have done this before. I don't have that.
St. John!
I know, total rubbish mistake.
Hold on,
have we done this before? Have we? I thought we had. Damn it.
We've definitely done this before, but let me just spit some out right at you again, at the top of my head. Best ever debuts. I'm pretty sure my number one last time was Kurt Angle's debut. I'm pretty sure it was that. My number two was probably Jericho. Does it have to be a complete your first ever debut? Because me and Jester were talking when we were filming, and me and Jester were talking about just how amazing it was when Undertaker came back, American Badass Undertaker came back, and does that count as a debut? Because it's a kind of new gimmick.
I would say it's the debut of the American Badass. I would let that one slide, aye.
Try to think of some other great debuts.
Well, there's an obvious one that everyone probably would say is Kane.
Kane was a great debut, aye. Mm-hmm. Kane was a great debut. Try to think if there's anybody else.
Ravens at fucking Unforgiven.
Aye. God. Try to think of recent ones. So I'm trying to think of, like, is there any recent, because we're always going back to the Attitude Era and all that. Try to think of recent debuts that were.
Oh, AJ at the Rumble's quite recent.
Aye.
Any AEW ones where you went, holy fuck. Do you know it's a really good debut, right? And it's a re-debut. But Jeff Hardy on that TNA head-to-head with Raw episode.
Oh, yeah.
A fucking great one. I like that.
That's a decent shout. Kevin Owens' debut on Raw was a good one. When he came out to challenge Cena, remember? I'm trying to think any other good recent ones. Let's see what the punters are saying. Andy says, I was at the Hydro when Raw was being taped and Noam Dar made his main roster debut. I was sat near some ICW talent when Noam came through the curtain. They stood up and applauded their pal. Genuinely nice to see. I remember that. I was there.
I was there.
I was there.
I was at Planet Man.
I was there. I went backstage after that. Went back. William Regal took us backstage.
Did you go backstage at Raw, man?
Regal took us backstage. Regal, Jason, best debut in recent memory, AJ Styles at Rumble. Daniel says, best debut is recently Moxley at AEW. I'd say the rest of AEW's debuts recently have been a bit shit, especially Andrade. That was a shit debut. Scott says, I love John Cena's. He's wee spiky hair to the ruthless aggression. Kurt Angle doing what he does and making Cena look like a star. Everybody forgets Angle's debut. It pisses me off. Angle's debut was the fucking best debut. He came out and the crowd were chanting boring at him. And then he fucking rolled out and took a mic and all that and was ranting at the crowd about I'm no boring. Not. It was brilliant. It was like, it captured everything about that guy. He came out, he was instantly brilliant in the ring. He was instantly brilliant on the mic and he was instantly thinking on his feet. It wasn't just all about a big fancy entrance and all that. Kev says Earthquake sitting in the crowd, kids pointing for him to be picked for Dino Bravo to do a push-up with him on his back. Smiling and laughing happily, sounding like a gentle giant with Mean Gene, then attacking Ultimate Warrior out of nowhere. That was it. That was great. Forgot about that. Went right out of my head. Absham says Santino, just crazy, jumping out of the crowd and winning the Intercontinental title for a maggot. It was mental, which is what wrestling should be all about. That's a great debut. John says Cactus Jack's debut in Madison Square Garden against Triple H. Watching back how well it was done and the pop was just amazing. Evil Ninja Phil says he's got to be the narcissist Lex Luger, the big cape, flexing at a big load of mirrors, Bobby the Brain going nuts about his muscles. That and it just didn't go anywhere, did it? It was the problem. Thomas says Scott Hall on Nitro changed the game, blurred the lines of what was real. Sting at Survivor Series, aye, it was expected and people slag it up, but it's Sting in the WWE. Andy says Taker, but everybody would say that. Nobody did say it, actually. Edge then Christian. Texas Tornado, sure it was SummerSlam 90, debuted beating Mr. Perfect. Yokozuna 2 was cool. And Craig says he absolutely loved Goldberg's on Raw back in the day. Probably because I was too young to know the ins and outs. So it was a proper surprise. I would love to see a big debut again, you know what I mean? Like a big giant. Well, you know, like a proper, like everything goes dark and then the screen fucking plays a video and then it's music that we've not heard before and then some person swaggers out and you don't and you've never seen him before.
I think that'll happen. I don't know when it will happen. The first person to jump from AEW to WWE, say they get WWE, they get like Hangman Page or MJF or Darby Allin or something like that. They take one of the top boys. That's when it will happen next, I reckon.
I always got to say, when see really now, like the whole WWE jump to AEW now has been totally done. I mean, I don't think anybody could jump from WWE to AEW now. It would mean anything. It's literally.
It's been shite. I mean, that's what kind of inspired the kind of topic this week. Because you look at all the debuts that AEW have had recently, and this Andrade was last week, turns up in a suit. There he is, Andrade. You know, you've had Nero, you've had so many.
Big Show.
Aye, and it's just like big. You know, Paul White is AEW. You know, Mark. You know, it's just. There's no surprise. The best one, I think, in the list was like Moxley turning up. That was fucking cool during the Omega match and stuff. But it's just AEW don't seem to kind of do a big build like that. But because you know that it's just a WWE guy that's going to turn up, you know?
I think that of all the people in AEW, right? I think the one that they would want the most of all the people in AEW, genuinely, the one that Vince would want the most out of all of them is Darby Allin. Like, genuinely, I think the WWE would fucking kill for Darby Allin. And I think it's just a matter of time before he goes. Because he's that kind of Jeff Hardy guy that Vince likes to have. Vince likes to have that young, cool guy. You know what I mean? That's in there. And they need that. I think they need that. And I would love to see a face Darby Allin coming into WWE straight into a program with Seth Rollins. I'd fucking kill to see that. Can you imagine that? Imagine a Darby Allin Seth Rollins match. Fucking brilliant, man. Brilliant. Grado, talk us through your TNA debut.
No.
Just tell us something about it. How did that feel, mate?
Well, I don't know, because I feel as if I had like about four. Because the first thing I would done under a TNA banner or fucking paycheck was against Sha at York Hall, which technically was a British wrestling card. It was Bethnal Green, probably about 600-700 people there. Crowd was amazing. Go to wrestle my best pal. And which, the thing that we took for it was, it's a fucking proper ring. You know, obviously we get British wrestling rings, but this was our first time on a ring that, you know, was immaculate, a TV ring, if you will. So that was the biggest thing, and it was just how fucking cool it felt. And then I debuted in America in a fucking 6-man tag match. And fucking, but I can't even tell you where it is now. Something North Carolina or something like that. No, North Carolina was the second night. The first night was, I don't even remember.
What felt like your actual debut though? Like what one of them felt like your?
I'd maybe say that probably the second night I wrestled EC3 in a building that was bigger. It was like that was still a house show, but it was a decent venue. I suppose that probably felt like a debut. Then again, the Hydro felt like a debut as well, and then it felt like a debut in the soundstage in Orlando when I was my first match was with Low Key and Kenny King. Could be wrong, sure it was. I suppose that day was mental just because of what happened. I've spoken about it before with Low Key. So, I just shit yourself, didn't you?
It is. You just shit yourself, didn't you? We are wrestlers. Just to clarify, for anybody listening, we pretend to be wrestlers on the way back for a show and we're telling each other stories as we're on the road stories. But it's these are stories that people sent in. I'm clarifying that because John likes to put up on Instagram clips for the show and stuff where it just looks like what it looked like last week. My wife says to me, Robert, there's a video up on the hangman that's about you like spewing and shiting everywhere. And I was like, what do you mean? And I listened to it and it was me telling a bit for a road story about somebody spewing and shiting all their granda's cream carpet. But the way John had edited the Instagram clip, it just sounded like it was me that was spewing and shiting all on my granda's cream carpet. So this is the danger of the road story segment. He does think it's funny. He wouldn't do that to John.
I don't know. I write, you know, listen to this week's Wrestling Daft to hear how this road story came about or, you know.
Maybe he reads the captions on Instagram, mate.
Or do they not?
Well, let's see what happens this time. We're wrestlers on the way back for a show. Let's get in the car and see what happens. Let's start the car sound effects. Here we go. Beautiful. There we go. And here we are. How are you doing, Gredo? You made your debut tonight, didn't you? Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
It went better.
Oh, could have went better? Ah, don't worry, mate. Tell me a wee story here, mate. Well, what?
You know, it's big expectations we brought to.
That's right, and you are pro too, mate.
I'm as pro too as you, but
nobody's more pro too than me, apart from maybe Adam Shame. Adam Shame is very pro too, I heard. Now, about 10 years ago, a guy I used to be pals with had a 21st, right, on his 21st birthday, funnily enough. Now, the group I was part of then decided to wind him up, and we planned to scrap the shirts and the trousers and find the worst possible outfit combinations for his party. So I didn't have anything too ridiculous to wear. So ventured up to TK Maxx and got myself a pair of bright green Adidas popper tracky bottoms, right? And a luminous orange vest with Bog and Jesus sandals and a ripped denim jacket. Now, thinking about that, that would probably pass our fashion these days with the millennial Spice Boys, do you know what I mean? Just to clarify, it's not me saying this, it's the guy saying in the story, right? I like the Millennial Spice Boys. Good name for a band, by the way, the Millennial Spice Boys. So anyway, I've donned this garb and I've headed to the party, buzzing to see what the rest of the boys are wearing, right? Was running a bit late, so they'd already arrived when I got there. Now, this is before the days of WhatsApp and group chat, so none of us had an idea what the other ones were wearing, right? So I turn up, one of the boys is standing outside waiting for me, in a full three-piece suit. I nearly said a three-piece suit there. And a full three-piece suit, right? And I've just went, oh, fuck. Another one of the boys comes out and he's in a suit and all. They're buckled. I've been double-crossed. I'm buckled as well, right? They absolutely done me. Head into the venue and the lads are eagerly awaiting this fud walking in dressed like a RuPaul reject. Is that all right? Aye, it is. Let me think, is it? Aye. Good lad. Is that all right? I think it is. good laugh, Oren, until one of the boys notices my popper trousers and goes, here, you need to give him a lap dance now. Already embarrassed enough, mate, I thought, fuck it. So I sat a birthday boy on a chair in the middle of the room and stuck on Tom Jones, sex bomb. I've gave it 110%, and he even got a roar when the poppers came off. I should add, I'm a lover of all things beer and bacon. I'm in absolutely no shape to be stripping off in front of anybody, right? But anyway, I gave the lad a birthday he'll never forget, and walked off. Jesus, man, I thought it had taken a fucking turn there. As expected, the whole thing was videoed and stuck on YouTube. Best part of the story is that I was working night shift that night, so I wasn't drinking. I had to leave for my shift half an hour later. That's funny. Straighties work. Walk in, cut off, lap dance, walk out. That's how it's done. Right, so thanks, Jason, for that story. Jason sent in that story. Is the YouTube video still out there? I would love to see this YouTube video.
What do you think you type in for that, huh? Green poppers, Adidas?
I will find out from
Don't Jay. Search for poppers on YouTube. Poppers lap dance, don't search for that. Right, so if you've got the YouTube video, please do send us that. We'd love to see it. And thanks very much for that nice, pleasant, wee kind of funny story that wasn't too offensive anywhere and didn't end our careers. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. And that's about it for this episode. What a fantastic week it's been in wrestling. Piper Niven made her debut and on Raw. Grado has been filming Two Doors Down. He has been smashing it. Elaine C. Smith told me that he's the funniest guy she's ever worked with. And Elaine C. Smith has worked with them all. She says Gregor Fisher is shite compared to Grado. That's what she said. That was in the paper. Apparently.
Compared to me, but...
Yep. Oh, fuck me. It's time... It's time for us to go, but we need to choose a listener of the week, of course. So who would a listener of the week be? I would like to give it to Matthew himself.
Aye.
The bold Matthew for coming on and chatting to us so freely and openly. He's going to be a listener of the week. He's going to get a wee belt for that, but I've got a feeling that a real wrestling belt, isn't he, too?
Aye. He's a wrestling belt, eh?
He's going to get a real wrestling belt on his waist. Grado, you could be booking him on your family wrestling bash.
Well, as long as he sticks in.
Alright. That's it for Wrestling Daft. Rate, review and subscribe on Apple or get us in wherever you get your podcasts. Are you going to do one of these shows, Grado?
That's all the fucking would you cry it? That's all this calms down.
Hi.
See Boris Johnson text about Matt Hancock?
I'd see that, aye. That was good, wasn't it?
Funny that folk like that use WhatsApp just for us, isn't it?
Aye. That is funny, isn't it? Because we quite often...
They use things like, for fuck's sake, and all that, for fuck's sake. No, it was what the fuck? WTF, Matt.
Aye. You think they send wee gifts and that, like wee wrestling gifts? You know that one with Austin where he's like laughing and then he goes, oh, serious? That's my favourite one.
Aye, he probably uses that. Dominic Cummings uses that a bit. Grado, I mean, we've quite often said people we've worked with are absolutely fucking hopeless, haven't we?
Aye.
You say that a lot of time. But you do as well, John, about George Bowie.
No, I do not. I do not. I tell you what, I'm screenshotting all the Wrestling Daft WhatsApp group for the, you know, get that out in the press, like Dominic Cummings, like, you know.
End our careers.
Oh, yeah, Rab, you're fine. It's Grado that's fucked.
Now, mine for mere content, there's loads this week. Video version of the show, get on board, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We want your money. And why not check out our merch as well, shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. Thank you so much for listening. Grado, thanks for joining us for your digs. I know it's very difficult to do that. You're a working man, you've been filming all day, you've been on the radio in the mornings, you are in your digs, you're not even in your own house. It's a hard shift. Thanks for doing that, Grado.
I must apologise, I feel as if I've not been awake tonight. I'm dead tired, but
you're knackered, I get it, John. And you were great, John, and you running yourself into the ground, trying to support all sorts of people across the industry and the entertainment sphere. We appreciate your work, John.
No worries.
Always. And you, the listener, I would like to say I appreciate your work as well, but I don't like McDonald's that much that I appreciate your flipping the burgers in McDonald's. It's a beautiful heel finish, isn't it? Up the road, Grado.
Oh, it's just so enough.